Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast. We have a great show for you today that everyone who has served needs to see. Ryan Gallucci, the Executive Director of the VFW, will tell us why no one does more for our veterans than they do. We'll learn how the VFW is bringing our veterans, military service members, and our communities together, and what they are doing to serve the next generation of veterans. You won't want to miss this. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, warriors, past and present, and your families, and thank you for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I want to personally thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I'm going to say it every week, we love them too. We have a great show for you today. We're going to be focusing on the veterans of foreign wars, also known as VFW. And I'm excited to introduce Ryan Gallucci, U.S. Army Iraqi War veteran, and newly, congratulations, appointed executive director of the VFW at the Washington office. So, Ryan, welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thank you, Sergeant Major Tilley. Really excited to be here. Really excited to talk about the VFW and share a little bit about our organization with you, with your viewers and your listeners.
Well, I'm excited to listen to all the stuff you have to say. But before, there's always a but to everything. But before we do that, would you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself? The high points and maybe not the low points, just the high points.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Always eager to talk about a little bit about my background, because I hope that there are a lot of veterans out there who may be able to resonate with it. So as you mentioned, I am an Army veteran who served in Iraq. Really proud of my Army service. But, I think I lived up to the cadence. Army life is not my style. Did one enlistment and then got out. I took that a little too seriously. Where the Army has led me has really postured me for post-military success. Yeah. and advocating for other veterans to really exercise their potential. I had some great leaders when I was a civil affairs soldier and served downrange in Iraq, who, when I came back, I was a student veteran, helped me really pursue career opportunities and goals that have really led to where I am today with the VFW. It was really strong mentors, strong leadership characteristics that I took away from the Army that led to the VFW. And I think that's really important for a lot of young service members and even veterans to hear, is that there are ways that you can still serve after the uniform comes off. That's what the VFW afforded to me. Almost 12 years ago, came on staff with the VFW, working in our legislative department, advocating for things like the Vow to Hire Heroes Act, post 9/11 GI Bill, and some other key reforms. Then had the opportunity to work in veteran service, and now stepping into the shoes of my mentor, Vietnam veteran, Marine Corps veteran, Bob Wallace. Just really excited about where we can take the VFW Washington office in years to come.
Yeah, well, that's wow. Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for your service. I always tell everybody, you said 8 years. I spent 36, so I always say anybody less than 36 is a quitter. So. Hey, you didn't quit. Hey, Ryan, the VFW has been around for, geez, a long time. I think it's like 123 years, and they've gone through a lot of changes during that period of time. Can you talk about a little bit about the history and your main mission is today, or what is your main mission today?
Absolutely. So the history of the VFW is really fascinating, and had an opportunity just a couple of years ago. Our veteran service and legislative advocacy missions started in 1919. So in 2019, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of our office on Capitol Hill here in Washington, D.C., and learned a lot more about the history of the VFW. So the VFW is really, it's now an American institution, yeah, to be quite honest, founded by veterans out of the Spanish-American War, really to advocate for how we treat our warfighters when they come home. And it's a mission that we've taken seriously for now 123 years, going on 124 years. And what I love about the organization is it constantly evolves to meet the needs of our veterans community and an ever-changing veterans community. All the way back to, you know, World War I veterans who came home and then Congress decided, we don't want to pay those war bonuses. VFW organized, came to Washington, D.C. in force and really forced the hand of Congress to do something that they really didn't want to do. Yeah. And live up to that commitment that, you know, the old George Washington quote that I'm probably going to butcher about the willingness of Americans to serve is largely based on how we treat prior generations of veterans. And that's what we try to do. Fast forward now, in that 123 years or the last 100 years, specifically, we continue to do that today. Just this summer, our members and advocates were back on the steps of the Capitol here in Washington, D.C., compelling Congress to pass the Honoring Our Pact Act, or the toxic burn pit legislation, that now offers peace of mind to veterans all the way back to Vietnam, those who served post 9/11, and those who are still serving or will join the military in the future. So that's our legacy. That's our mission. And really proud to just play a small role in that. We're caretakers of a much larger institution that has looked out for our veterans since they first came back from the Spanish-American War.
I think you're probably the only one of three or four different organizations that's able to testify in front of Congress on benefits and entitlement for the veterans. Is that true?
Yes. To be honest, we're one of the oldest and largest congressionally chartered organizations. And this is sometimes hard to explain to people that as a 501c19 veterans organization, it is not only one of our major programs to advocate before Congress, it's one of our duties. Yeah. And it's even implied in our charter to assist worthy comrades. And it's... You know, sometimes people will criticize VSOs like the VFW and say, well, oh, you're too involved in politics. It's, well, you know, to quote a few good men, you want me on that wall, you need me on that wall. And I've seen it even in my time here with the VFW that, you know, Congress can have a short memory. And if you don't constantly exercise that First Amendment right to petition your government, who's going to do it for you? That's what the VFW does. We're very proud of it. Our legislative team last year testified more than 20 times before Congress. Yeah. And really just about every week that Congress was in session, and sometimes twice a week.
Yeah, you made me think of a lot of things right there. One is, I always tell people that in peacetime, we have all the time and no money. And in wartime, we have all the money and no time. And the fact that we need to make sure that we continue to talk about benefits and entitlements and the sacrifices our veterans and families make for our country. And so, hey Ryan, this is a great question. The next one I'm going to ask you, as the new executive director, I asked you a minute ago, you said, you know, what's the top three things that you're going to focus on? And you told me you have about 40 things. So, but break it down. What's the top three?
Sure. So, If I'm limited to three,
no, go ahead, take as many as you want.
No, but really, a lot of it is protecting the benefits that our veterans have earned, and ensuring that we honor the sacrifice of those who volunteer to wear the uniform of our nation and defend our nation's ideals overseas. That would be paramount. So I just had an opportunity to visit with service members in Poland, and also, you know, the 173rd in Vicenza, Italy, the 31st Fighter Wing in Aviano. And I think you captured it just a few minutes ago where you talked about having all the money but no time, but then having all the time and no money. So I worry that there's a bit of a misconception that since we sunset the National Defense Service Medal and since we're no longer in Afghanistan, that our nation's no longer at war. And that couldn't be further from the truth if you talk to our service members who are serving overseas. We're in a very, you know, tense time. Especially supporting our NATO allies in Poland and the like. And I think one of our top priorities is to really message to our military that we're here, we support you, and you know, now is when it gets hard. In addition to that, other priorities, in addition to military quality of life and supporting those wearing the uniform overseas, it comes down to protecting veterans' benefits. You know, we passed the PACT Act. And a very important piece of legislation. I think it offers peace of mind to our veterans and even those in uniform. I even heard that from some service members overseas. But unfortunately, there anytime there's money at stake, there are predators out there who are looking to take that from veterans. And you know, VA's put out some consumer warnings about it, and it's one of our top priorities to fight what we call claim sharks. And these are organizations that charge veterans exorbitant consulting fees to access their earned benefits. Where this becomes tragic is there are veterans. I'll use the example of some of our Air Force colleagues who served in Uzbekistan at the start of Afghanistan, who have been fighting VA for years to prove toxic exposures. They're taken care of in the PACT Act, and it's easier than ever before. I would absolutely hate it, and I would find it tragic if somebody paid tens of thousands of dollars to access their benefits that they've earned when they could have done it for free.
Yeah, I just it's not fair. One of the things that really always bothered me a great deal is the fact that most people don't know about all their benefits and entitlements. Are you guys doing anything to, I mean, I'm sure you are doing a lot of stuff to make sure we educate not only service members, active duty service members, but also our retirees, because I've talked to a lot of retirees and I ask them all the time, what did you know about your benefits and entitlements when you got out? And the majority of them say, not too much, nothing really.
So this is an excellent segue to what I would identify as number three.
Yeah.
And that's improving the transition process for those who are leaving the military, whether you're serving 4 years, 8 years, or 36 years. Basically improving that transition process and linking veterans with benefit systems before they leave the military. And we already do this at about 20 installations around the country, some of the major installations like Fort Bragg, Fort Campbell, Joint Base Lewis-McChord, Naval Base San Diego, and the like. But there's always room to do more and make sure that we can reach deeper into those military communities. Because you're absolutely right. The active duty force, it doesn't always resonate as well as it does in the veterans community. Yeah. And one of the things I always say is you don't necessarily know what it's like to be a veteran until you are. And I've even seen it through the Military Transition Assistance Program. Active duty service members, for better or worse, how would you know what questions to ask? Because you don't know what struggles you're going to face until that uniform comes off. I think we have a very good program on military installations, and one of our objectives is to work with Department of Defense and our VA partners to make sure that accredited organizations like the VFW are more integrated into TAP. The way that it happens right now, unfortunately, is very ad hoc. We're really on our own to negotiate on an individual installation basis for that access. Then once we have it, they obviously see that it's a value add. I mean, we've been on Fort Hood for more than two decades providing this service. But what we would prefer is that instead of it being a case-by-case basis, it's a default where we have those resources. And not just for us. I mean, yes, I'll selfishly say for the VFW, but realistically, we're a nonprofit, so we can't cover everywhere. But our colleagues on DA, the Disabled American Veterans, offer a similar program. Our partners at Wounded Warrior Project, state and county organizations are looking for similar access. And right now, it's far too, what's the word I'm looking for? Probably passive. And it's really a case-by-case basis. We want it to be part of the norm and just really to protect that transitioning service member. And we work with VA Experience Office, and we shared some notes a few months ago. And when you talk about resiliency or mental wellness or the crisis of suicide in the veterans community, the data that I've seen, there's a very direct correlation to that 1 year period after a service member takes off the uniform, but then later in life when they leave the workforce. We can address that once we've identified it. What's tragic is we don't see those same problems among people who engage with the benefit system either within 6 months of leaving the military or within 1 year. So if they're receiving their VA benefits, if they're using their GI Bill, if they use their home loan or enrolled in VA care, there are much better outcomes. So by liberating some of this data with VA, we have a better idea of where we need to dedicate our resources, and that's why we're focusing heavily on transition.
Yeah, let me give you just a couple of suggestions from an old guy right here. One is that I always thought we should educate benefits and entitlements throughout your time in the military service. So I think it should be in the educational process for officers and non-commissioned officers. The second thing I think is important too is educate military spouses. I mentioned it the other day on a prep call there a little bit. I think there's a good idea if my wife knows more about everything than me, just ask her. But but she does. She really follows the rules. She understands what the entitlements and benefits are. So I think talking to the spouses, I think, is another smart thing. And then, of course, the last one, you said it a minute ago, it takes people 6 months to a year. I talked to a spouse the other day, and she said it took her husband 8 to 9 years to process out, because it was a culture shock for him when he got out of service. Mm. That really means whether or not you stayed in 20 years, 30 years, or 30 plus, or you stayed in 8 years or 9 years. I think that it's different for everybody. But I think it's a culture shock. You have a family of people that work together and stay together, and then you're all out there by yourself. Ryan, this is a great discussion. I'm enjoying this, but hold that thought. Don't go anywhere, okay? We're talking with Ryan Gallucci, Executive Director of VFW at the Warriston Office, and you're listening to Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack Antilli, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. And don't forget, if you're enjoying discussion, and I know that you are because I am, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below and on the bell next to it that so you can receive all the notifications of our upcoming video podcast. Ryan, over 1.5 million members. That's really hard to believe, and congratulations to that. 6,000 posts. How can you tell if you're really effectively reaching those folks and really addressing all their needs? I mean, that's sort of tough when you got that many people. That's almost the size of the Army, I guess. So go ahead.
It is, and it can be a challenge. I mean, so the VFW, one of the benefits of our organization is really that community touch point. Sometimes I jokingly call it the bane and boon of our existence. It's the boon of our existence because we have that community footprint. And honestly, members of the VFW have a say in how the organization runs from the post level. And if you choose to, our commander in chief of the VFW started as a volunteer, usually at the VFW post, and works for years and years and years to become the national commander of the VFW. And that opportunity is there for every member. Now, I'll be honest, if you've seen one VFW post, you've seen one VFW post, because they have the flexibility to run programming that may meet the needs of their community. Now, that comes with challenges, especially as the organization evolves or as a new generation comes home. Sometimes they may not be as open to change as another VFW post.
Yeah.
But that's really how the organization shifts from year to year. We try to have core programming always in our communities. So posts will have emergency relief funds. Posts will have a post service officer who's supposed to be knowledgeable about programs and benefits for veterans in their community, and then link to our folks who are VA accredited who can assist. But beyond that, if they want a mental wellness program in their community, it's they have the discretion to be able to implement one. We see a lot of success, especially around, we've seen a lot of success in recent years around college campuses. I'll use the example of University of Nevada in Las Vegas, UNLV. The student veteran organization on that campus, Rebel Vets, works very closely with the VFW in the Las Vegas community. And they host events for student veterans on that campus. They provide resources to those student veterans, help send them to professional development trainings and conferences like the Student Veterans of America National Conference, and really promote leadership development among that next generation of student leaders. There are pockets of innovation around the VFW like that. And I think one of our objectives at the national level is to harness that energy, harness those best practices, and promote them where we can. Because that I truly believe, especially after visiting with service members overseas, that we have a lot to offer the active duty community. We have that through the military assistance program or adopt a unit. And sometimes it's working with those posts or those emerging post leaders to understand how to access those programs and best develop a program that serves the needs of that military community.
Yeah, I got another great idea for you. That 1.5 million, every one of them had to be a mentor for somebody, you know, a younger soldier. Because they need, even when transitioning out of the military, if you have a mentorship program by the VFW that says, hey, look, all I want to have is one person. Let me help you in your transition for that military family. I think that'd be a great way to sort of touch bases with the active duty. Also get the veteran community involved in that process, because I think there's a lot of great people out there that can help in the development of younger adults and older adults, you know, depending on what age you are, I guess.
I'll tell you, I think you're onto something there. And sitting down with some commanders overseas recently, I think there's a definite need there. There's really a couple of different sides of the force today, those who have been downrange and been downrange multiple times. But then you have your young Americans who are joining the military and still learning about that culture.
Yeah.
And finding a way to bridge that gap. But then also to promote in our communities why military service is so important. And why it's a valuable proposition for a young American. I was talking to a colleague of mine, and they talked about, you know, the military and college campuses today are competing for the same talent pool. Mm-hmm. And then with physical fitness requirements and the like, you know, your enlistees in today's military are some of the best of the best. And that's a competitive ground. And I think we see that and we hear that a little with some of the recruiting challenges that you may have heard out of the military. And I think the VFW has something to offer there to bridge that gap and really demonstrate to young Americans the value of joining the military. When we spoke before, I talked about I was in civil affairs. And when I first came on staff at the VFW, I was working on student veteran issues, economic opportunity and the like. And I had an epiphany just a couple of years ago. I do exactly what the Army trained me to do. I'm doing government relations on behalf of an NGO. It's, you know, this is what they taught us and what I did downrange in Iraq. And it was a fascinating epiphany that the military provided that skill set for me to succeed after military
life. Well, you know, I tell everybody, you know, that 1.5 million, they're all recruiters for the military, whether or not it's the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard, or our Space Force. But they're all recruiters that educate people about what exactly the military does or can do, not only for the community, but really for this country. That, Ryan, you know, I've been to a lot of different VFWs, and I got to ask you this question. What's the average age of somebody in the VFW?
It skews older. I'll be honest about that. I think our average age is close to 70. And that may sound bad at first, but the average age of veterans is in the late 60s as well. That's really, in my opinion, it's more of a reflection of that we went from a conscript military, especially during Vietnam, and to an all-volunteer force. So it's a bit worrisome, you know, fewer Americans serve today than ever before. So our candidate pool for veterans to join the VFW is smaller than it's been in quite some time. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. We're having a generational shift right now, but what I've seen in our organization is, at least over the last 12 years, is a generational shift. You know, the first VFW National Convention that I went to in San Antonio, I felt really out of place. I was probably one of the younger veterans in the room. I learned a lot and fostered some strong camaraderie with those VFW leaders and mentors. But as the years have gone by, there are now more of my age group peers and even people younger than me taking on leadership roles across the VFW. That's exciting and energizing to see because even if the organization is a different size, I think it's still going to fill that same critical purpose.
Yeah. You know what I used to do at every level I ever worked at? I always used to I walk around and talk to younger soldiers and see what their issues are. How do you know you're attracting the next generation of veterans? I mean, what are you doing to attract them? And one last question, you have to have a great marketing strategy that you reach out to veterans, because what I like and maybe an 18 or 20 or 25 year old is totally different. So how do you attract those younger veterans?
Well, it's actually a persistent topic of discussion among our leaders. You know, we're very fortunate in the VFW Washington office to have a director of communications and public affairs, Rob Couture, who very
oh, he's an ideal guy. I know that. He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's critical to have your finger on the pulse of what the force needs today. And I think this is also underscores the importance of what we do on military installations, both stateside, but also those overseas visits where we sit down, you know, with a dozen Air Force chiefs to hear some candor about what their enlisted service members are facing. I use that example because earlier in that day, we sat down with the commanding general, and that was one briefing on, you know, this is what we're doing here, and this is the posture of our force, our mission and such. And there was an Air Force senior chief who's there in that briefing, but then sat down for lunch with us among his peers. A very different conversation. And we talked about the needs of the young enlisted airmen who were, you know, overseas for the first time, who had maybe deployed once or twice or had gone to the border in Romania last February and are concerned about, you know, what's the recognition of that campaign? It seemed important. We were there for a long time, but what do we, you know, how is America recognizing that sacrifice? So long story longer, what we try to do is keep our finger on the pulse of today's force, but also today's veterans community. One of the things that our team prides itself on is when we testify before Congress, we're not there with problems, we're there with solutions, and we're there with actionable information. Now, the transitioning service members who we assist on military installations, we ask them how we did, but we also ask them about their transition, and we analyze that and adjust our programming accordingly to make sure that it meets their needs today, not their needs 10 years ago. Because, you know, if you separated in 2012, it's very different than separating in 2022. Those who got out during COVID, also a drastically different experience just because of how that program was administered. So our goal is to constantly stay fresh on the needs of the force, but then also to gear programming toward what veterans are looking for. You know, we've had a mental wellness program now for a number of years. And I like to stress this. We partnered with an organization, Given Hour. And there's, you know, I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way, but there's a lot of talk in the veterans community about, you know, suicide. What do we do about suicide? And what I say is, you know, if you're talking about suicide, you're too late. We need to talk about the upstream effects, and we need to stop talking about veterans as if they're broken. We partnered with Given Hour because they had a program called the 5 Signs of Emotional Suffering. And, it, you know, a little card you carry on says, know the 5 signs of emotional suffering. We worked with them to co-brand some of them and brought them to the VFW National Convention. We couldn't give them away fast enough. And one VFW comrade, she was from the state of Rhode Island. She was the state commander at the time. She said, she holds the card and she says, you know what? I love this because it doesn't make me a victim. It empowers me to change something.
Yeah.
And so that's how we focused on mental wellness. And I think it's generated some success. We're now actually working with Given Hour on a program to talk about, you know, veterans in the workplace and what we can learn from maybe the military community about why military culture seems to be so successful in promoting longevity and workplace safety. Not that the military is not dangerous, but workplace safety, like job security, and that your benefits are there and taken care of. And I think that sometimes informs that culture shock that transitioning service members experience when they get out of the military, because now they're in a completely different world.
Yeah. Guy, you said a lot of great things right there. I mean, you cover so many, I'll go and get them all. One is that when you go out and visit, I know that the generals will have one idea. The chief master sergeants will have another idea. E7s, E6s, E5s. So make sure you talk to the, you know, E4s, E5s, and all the junior level guys, because it's different. The second thing is marketing strategy, knowing how to get that information out. Mm. And one of the things that I found, again, is the social media aspect of it. How do you, you know, that's the way to connect with a lot of people nowadays, is through the social media. I mean, we just on our little realm right here, we're touching a lot more people here lately, but getting on social media, telling people what you're doing, telling them the kind of issues that you're fighting for our veteran community about, I think that's important for people to understand anyway.
Absolutely. And I'm going to give Rob Couture another shout out here, because, you know, he's really brought a lot of good ideas to the forefront for our organization. And what he talks about pretty frequently is online engagement.
Yep.
It's not just enough to post something, but to engage with your audiences. And again, I'm excited about what our team is building here in the VFW Washington office. And this may sound rudimentary. We held an open house for VFW members in our Washington office. And we hadn't done that in my time here. I just said, hey, you know, VFW members, come on out, meet our staff, you know, have a couple of adult beverages, if that's your thing, maybe some pizza and wings, and we'll just, you know, show you what we do, talk about what we do, and find ways to support each other.
Yeah.
And that really resonated. Fast forward, you know, we do these overseas visits, and we've been asking a lot of questions about, well, so what? What do we do on the back end? And, you know, Rob was very helpful in making sure that we were pushing content so that veterans could see what we were doing and why we were doing it overseas.
Yeah.
And that they could see that our commander in chief was meeting with junior airmen and talking about the importance of their service, talking about the importance of them being overseas, defending our nation's ideals and being ready on a moment's notice, whether it's the 173rd, the 31st Fighter Wing or V Corps out in Poland, but just really generating that engagement and that conversation. So I'm excited about where we can go with that because I think we have a lot of veterans who want that engagement. I think back to when I, when I came back from Iraq and I was first introduced to VSOs. We spoke earlier about veterans not necessarily knowing about their benefits while they're wearing the uniform. Mm-hmm. I went through that. Mm-hmm. I had some trouble readjusting. My father, who was an Army veteran, he told me to go to VA and I did. And I sat down with a counselor and she said, you know, you need to file a claim. And I looked at her quizzically and I'm like, what's a claim? I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
She linked me up with an accredited service officer. I filed a benefit claim. When I got my benefit award, I was talking to some friends of mine. I'm like, why doesn't anyone know about this? Went and met with the VFW Department of Rhode Island. You know, they signed me up as a new member of the VFW. I was excited about that. I understood what they were there for. Of course, fast forward, I let my membership lapse like I think of far too many people do, but but then ultimately did come back to the VFW. That's a little bit of my story. And I think there are a lot of other veterans who would be able to resonate with that or be able to empathize with that. And I think the VFW has a ton to offer, but we need to communicate it in a way that veterans want.
Yeah, no, I think that's the key to six. How do you reach those veterans? How do you communicate? How do you go to where they're at, where they're located, and and just sort of tell them the story? One of the things that I was on active duty, people, you know, I used to, you know, put stuff out, articles out all the time, and they say, you know, Sergeant Major, are you putting too much out? No, I can't put enough out. In fact, the general told me one time, he said, we can talk about transforming the Army till we're blue in their face, and there's still people that don't know anything about transformation of the military. Ryan, we're having a great discussion. Don't you go anywhere. Don't go anywhere, Ryan. We'll be right back. We have a lot more to talk about, so don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by the Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at PurdueGlobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for 5 straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at VeteransUnited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Ryan Gallucci, Executive Director of the VFW Washington Office. And I want all of our viewers to reach out to directly. Tell me about your transition. I'm here to help you. So tell me what kind of assistance you want from me, or from us. Tell us what topics you'd like to cover. This is not my show. This is our show for all veterans. So tell me what you want me to talk about. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134. And I'll actually reach back out to you. You might find that surprising. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Ryan, I'm going to tell you, I'm pumped up just listening to you talk right here today. I'm going to run and go down to my VFW post right now. But unfortunately, we're heading into our final segment. And I hope you've enjoyed it just as much as I have. I just have a couple more questions. Ryan, before the break, we talked about the importance for the VFW to attract, you know, a younger audience, a younger veterans. So can you tell us how a service member or a veteran can join the VFW? And what are the, I think I know what the benefits are, but what are the benefits of being a member of VFW?
Sure. The easiest way is to go to vfw.org and click on join. You can join right there. It's pretty simple, just a couple of basic questions, basic demographic questions. We are going to ask about qualifications, because that is one of the things that distinguishes the VFW. That F does a lot of work in our name, and it's something that I'm personally very proud of. We're there for veterans who have gone downrange, veterans who have received imminent danger or hostile fire pay or certain campaign medals, to include service in Korea and earning the Korean Defense Service Medal. So vfw.org, click on join. It's pretty simple. And you know, you can sign up either as an annual member, but you know, you may want to take a look at life membership or life installment plan, so that you don't have to worry about dues and make the mistake that I did of having your membership lapse and then having to come back later and rejoin. So again, vfw.org. But the benefits of membership are multifaceted. The first that I always will promote is that legislative activism. Again, a quote I overuse, you want me on that wall, you need me on that wall. Really, when I found out as a veteran that there were veterans advocating for my benefits and programming to improve my quality of life, I wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Early on, I didn't necessarily want to go to a post. I was actually intimidated by a post. You know, I'm an Iraq veteran. You know, I've got my Army, combat action badge. But I thought I was walking into a community of veterans who stormed hills in Korea with bayonets, and that they were going to look down on my service. But that's not the case. What the VFW offers to members is also a community connection. And it's something that I think is far too often missing, especially today, especially coming out of COVID-19. And if you get involved in the VFW, you're going to find people of all generations of shared experiences. And that's the beauty of the VFW. It's something, you know, we were doing peer-to-peer support before anybody had a name for it. That's what past generations did. They came together at VFW posts, talked about their shared experiences, talked about their challenges, and then went forward in their community and did extraordinary things. During COVID-19, I think this organization really shined. I remember as we pivoted to remote work and things like that, first of all, our service officers were ready to do so. We were, you know, through some smart strategic planning, we had the technology in place that when VA offices and closed their doors, they could work remotely and still help veterans get their benefits. But what we saw at VFW posts was even more astounding. We saw posts coming together to prepare meals for first responders, shifting really their whole model, sewing masks for healthcare workers, you know, distributing food to families, not just, you know, first responders and the like, but people who were laid off from their jobs. The organization really shined because of that community touch point. Of course, there are other, you know, membership benefits and discounts and things like that of any organization, you know, some of those ancillary benefits. We have those too. So as a member, you can get, you know, certain discounts and perks. But the ultimate perk is that community connection and also the activism that we bring forward on behalf of our veterans. I talked about the PACT Act earlier and that our members were out in force on the steps of the Capitol. And we were making a lot of noise, and we were making some noise on social media. But one thing that I say is, you know, no one really cares what I say or what our staff say, unless there are 1.5 million VFW members behind it, inundating Congress with phone calls, emails, social media messages. That's what won the day for the Honoring Our PACT Act. Yeah, you know, we lit that spark, we lit that fuse, and we were physically present here in Washington to advance that message. but it was the Army we had behind us amplifying that message and demonstrating the importance of that issue that ultimately compelled Congress to act. I think they were content to wait till the election and come together around Veterans Day and say, hey, look what we did for veterans. But it was the members of the VFW who mobilized and said, not today.
Yeah, for the people that are listening here today, if you go to Congress and testify and you have, you know, 5 million, 6 million, 17 million people in any organization, you can swing a lot of stuff. You can influence a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's all about numbers, and it's all about the people that give off. So, if you got to join something, join the VFW and see what they're doing to help our veteran community. That's what really needs to do. Hey, I got to ask you, do you think there's a perception that the VFW is outdated? We talked about the average age now. And I mean, that I guess it probably is a perception out there. What do you think?
To be honest with you, that's a question that I invite. And I challenge people to look at the VFW differently. You know, that... we talked about the average age of the VFW member, and that's true. I'm not going to refute facts. But the VFW, the beauty of it is it's a constantly evolving organization.
Yeah.
That's why I'm excited about it. And that's why I'm excited about the opportunity to lead our Washington office as a post 9/11 veteran. Our commander in chief, Tim Borland, is the first Iraq veteran to serve as the commander in chief of the VFW. The times are changing, but this has happened every time we've sent Americans overseas. Historically, for the VFW, veterans don't necessarily become active in the organization until 20 years after a conflict ends. We're 20 years from Iraq kicking off. My mobilization was in January of 2003, went down to Fort Bragg for a little while and then sat there until they sent us over to Kuwait. But that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's not a new phenomenon. Vietnam veterans didn't really start engaging with the VFW until the late 80s, early 90s. Even today, we still have Vietnam veterans who are joining for the first time. And it's because really that's when veterans have time. The children are older. You may be winding down a career or a second career if you had retired from the military. And you have that time to volunteer in your community. That's really when people become engaged.
Yeah,
that happened for my grandfather. It happened for my father. And I think we're starting to see that now with the post 9/11 generation.
Yeah,
it happens every time.
Yeah, I think you hit on the note. It's really when people go, like for me, I retired from the military, but I just kept working and doing other stuff. And I think when you retire completely, that you want to start reaching out. So that makes a lot of sense to me. But the other thing that makes sense to me is getting down to the bowels of the people and sort of telling people what you're doing, because you're doing a great job. But just like you said, Rob's going to get the word out a little bit more. How much does it cost to be a VFW member a year?
Sure. So it's $45 a year.
Yeah.
And that's the basic annual membership. But that's why we talk about life membership. It's only depending on your age group, it can vary from, about $400 down to, it's a couple hundred dollars for life membership. And I would challenge anyone else to find comparable value for what you get out of that life membership.
Yeah.
Just in the advocacy that I've seen in my time here, that membership helps fund our service officer program that last year alone recovered $11.2 billion in tax-free benefits for more than 550,000 veterans that we represent. That's incredible value. And then you look at the legislative objectives that we've achieved, whether it's the Vow to Hire Heroes Act, the post 9/11 GI Bill, Forever GI Bill, in-state tuition, the Mission Act, and then culminating with the Honoring Our Pact Act. I mean, some of this is invaluable to the veterans that it assists, especially things like the GI Bill and access to care.
Yeah. I got to say something real quick before I forget about it. I'm getting old. I forget about stuff all the time. But every time I go into, I'm going to go buy a car, I'm going to go out to dinner, I always say, what kind of military discount do you have? So I always frequent those organizations that, that recognize veterans and give them a discount. Hey, where do you see the VFW going? I said 5 to 10 years, 15 to 20 years. Where do you see them going the next, 5 to 10 or longer? What direction is it?
Well,
go ahead.
My goal, and I think our team's objective, is to distinguish the VFW in the next 5 to 10 years as that institution, that American institution that is there to care for the needs of those who have worn our nation's uniform, their families, their loved ones, their caregivers, their survivors. And the reason I say that is because, you know, Admiral Mullen talked about the sea of goodwill. I sometimes call it the fire hose of goodwill. Yeah. Of all the nonprofits that seem to crop up after 9/11. Now that we're not in those kind of kinetic operations that we saw in Afghanistan or Iraq, even though we still have people in Iraq, but even though it's not at the forefront of the American consciousness, I think some of those organizations are going to, you know, they're going to case the colors and find other objectives. But we're here for the long haul, and we have been for, you know, a century and a quarter. And I don't think we're going anywhere. And it's an opportunity for the VFW to distinguish itself. I really think there's a strong opportunity, especially with those who are currently serving. And like you said before, to promote mentorship among the force or mentorship among those who recently separated. You know, the Army Soldier for Life program is starting an ETS sponsorship program. I think the VFW is uniquely poised to play a role in that, to help veterans, find that next community, that next culture to immerse themselves in once the uniform comes on.
Yeah, you know, you ought to use that, what you just said a minute ago, we're here for the long run. You ought to use that in a marketing ad, because that's true. You know, we're talking about 123 years, right? That you've been around, and we're not going anywhere. We're here for the long run, and you're making a difference. Well, first of all, let me say, Ryan, I enjoyed so much talking to you, and you're putting out a lot of good information. And thank you for what you're doing. And of course, your staff and the people that 6,000 posts and all that other stuff that are doing, and 1.5 million people that are associated with VFW or members of VFW. Thank you for what you're doing, what you continue to do. Unfortunately, this is going to be the wrap up here, right? Any final thoughts? Anything that we missed? You want to tell the audience?
Well, just two more. You know, really, if you go to join the VFW, please visit vfw.org. Click on join. Another one where you talked about reaching out to veterans today. We commissioned a microsite, pactactinfo.org. I talked about those predatory companies trying to prey on veterans. What we did is we built a referral mechanism. So to help veterans with questions about the PACT Act, link with accredited advocates in their community. And so far to date, we've had about like 2,500 referrals through that alone,
oh, wow,
which is great. That means that veterans have questions. Now, on the back end, we've heard that it doesn't always result in them filing a claim. Sometimes it's just getting the right answer to a question. And we're doing that. And we're meeting that objective. So pactactinfo.org is another one. I do want to say also, this was an incredible honor for me. I really thank you for the opportunity to sit down and talk about the VFW and our programs, and really the opportunity just to spend some time talking to you. I remember, you know, your portrait on the walls at my unit, and really thank you for your continued service for our service members, our veterans and their loved ones. It's an honor for me to be able to continue serving, and it's inspiring to see the former Sergeant Major of the Army continuing to serve and give back and take care of soldiers. So it's an honor for me as well.
I appreciate it, but I always worried what they did with those pictures. I always tell people they probably took them down and ripped them up and threw them away. So I don't know. Well, God bless you. And again, thank you so much. And, it was a privilege for me to talk to you and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Ryan for being with us today. I'm Jack L. Tully, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast, and thank you for watching today. Please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say I hope it's a good review, but I can take a bad one if you send it. You can also visit our partners there who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military. I know it's tough, but we want to help you, just like the VFW wants to help you. Also, please visit our corporate partners and see all the jobs that are available. Please know we want to assist you any way we can. I want to say that again. Please know we, all of us, not just me, the VFW, all of us want to assist you any way we can. Please follow me on my personal media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you've enjoyed the discussion with Ryan, and I know that you have, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Also, don't forget to click on the bell next to the subscribe button to receive the notifications. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Ryan Gallucci for joining us today. It was just great having him on the show, and the VFW is doing a tremendous job. At this point of the show, it's you know, my final thoughts. I always like to talk about my final thoughts, but you know, if it's all about numbers. You know, if the VFW has 1.5, if they had 15 million people that went to Congress and said, hey, look, this is what our veteran community needs. We need to make sure we focus more on this and that. It's all about the numbers game. But you're not going to get anything accomplished by yourself, by just you. It's about all of us. You know, I always tell people we're part of a family. We need to help each other. Reach out and help the fellow veteran. And being part of VFW is the right thing to do. It's the right thing because they are not only going to help you, they're going to help you and your family. Don't forget, we're all part of a family and we need to help each other. Again, thanks to Cloudcast Media, New Mind Studios, and of course, our four presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.